get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to another episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. This week we will break down the brand new Hallmark movie, Christmas at Pemberley Manor.
It's their first movie of the season. First movie new movie of the
2018.
Season.
2018,
all yeah, right. Exciting. So it stars a couple of Hallmark Christmas movie heavy hitters. Jessica Lowndes, I think that's how you say it. And Michael Rady. And we know both of these people from Hallmark movies, but also from other things, too. Jessica was in the new Beverly Hills 90210. She's a singer. And I know Michael Rady from Unreal. There was something you had seen him.
He was in that CBS show about the swingers.
Oh, Swingtown.
He was in Swingtown, yeah. And a couple of other more recent things.
Yeah. So they're familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Though I had plastic surgery comes up frequently in these movies, and Jessica Lowndes' face looks weirder than normal. Has she had something done? This question has come up, not just from us, but people have messaged me about this. So he's cute and she is confusing looking to me.
Like she looks confused or...
She looks sort of like one of the girls that are on the ESPN shows you watch.
With the hair. Fantasy football shows.
Or any of them.
12 fantasy football shows I watch.
She's pretty, but it looks fake. I look at her face and I'm trying to figure it out. She's very likable.
Yeah. And I find him likable as well.
Yeah. So this movie has a Pride and Prejudice line going throughout. She's Elizabeth Bennet. He's William Darcy. And their personalities match up with that classic novel and events in the movie as well. So Hallmark's getting a bit highbrow here. So we see her at work in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think right? I think so, yep.
And she's at her office, and she has another thing that they love are red and green folders and binders. She's really into binders, and the red binders for one thing, the green binders for another thing, the white binders for another thing.
She's a party planner for a company called Lead Events.
And her boss's name is Caroline, and she's very demanding. And Elizabeth stays more behind the scenes, and Caroline's more up front.
The face
she's
of
very,
the company, yeah.
You know, important to her. So she has kind of wrapped up everything for the season and is heading out on, it's an event that she's planning for the company, but she's taking it on herself because she's doing it as a favor for a friend. So her friend, George, is the mayor of Lambton, Connecticut. That's spelled L-A-M-B-T-O-N. It's not Lambton, like I thought for most of the movie. It's Lambton, Connecticut, a small town, a small, very Christmassy town. And her friend George from college is the mayor, and they have a holiday event, village party festival thing every year. And it's his first year as mayor, and so she's agreed to help him out. How would you describe George?
George is a dweeb.
I called him a doof.
Is he a dweef?
He's a dweef.
A doob? No.
Well, he's wearing glasses, so we know that he's kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
Then in Hallmark movies,
it's just a nerdy. He's just like spineless kind of.
We also meet Michael Rady's character, William Darcy, and he's getting in a helicopter, so we know he's important. He's also a businessman in New York. Yeah.
Is he in New York?
That's where he starts out, right?
Oh, I thought the company was in Seattle. Maybe the company was founded in Seattle. I remember
I don't know. I trust you on this.
No, but you wouldn't take a helicopter from Seattle to Lambton, Connecticut. So I think the company was founded in Seattle, and then it's branched out, and now it's in Manhattan.
I feel like that helicopter cost Hallmark a pretty penny, too. Those helicopter shots, don't you think?
Did they shoot?
They weren't in the helicopter, but they were getting... They, rented a helicopter, and they were getting into it. It was a real helicopter.
Yeah, but they didn't show it flying anywhere. They were just... Right?
No,
They just got in the helicopter.
They don't... sets are at a minimum in Hallmark movies. I mean, they're much more interested in like a ribbon around a candle than like a helicopter. So William's getting into the helicopter because he's going to Lambton to sell Pemberley Manor, which was a big house that belonged to his aunt and uncle who passed away, and the board for the Darcy Holdings or whatever foundation has taken it over, and they had voted to sell it. And so he's got his new assistant Travis with him. How would you describe his assistant?
Travis Payne? Gay?
As we talked about, Hallmark movies are very traditional. They follow traditional gender norms. Mm-hmm. Their audience may not reflect that, but that's how the movies are. This year, maybe they're branching out a little bit in they're becoming a little bit more diverse, but they have never, everyone is always straight. Mm-hmm. And the characters may not be, and we've got a great one here in Travis, the assistant.
Yes.
One of my favorite characters in a movie in a long time. There's nothing straight about Travis, the assistant. Why can't that just be part of the movie? Why is Hallmark fighting against this so much? Just roll with it. You've got this great actor here. Let that be his thing. Mm-hmm. That would 2019, Hallmark, if you're listening to me, 2019, bring Travis back in the lead. Travis is very nervous. This is a stressful job. You know, like this is a very important person and he wants to do a good job. So Elizabeth has made it up to Lambton. She's with George, and George's maybe assistant or just someone who works for his office who is helping with the planning. And she's like very organized and mm-hmm. has everything under control. George doesn't really know what's going on. And she's going to help Elizabeth. And they're in line. So where you get coffee in Lambton is just this little like kiosk outside.
Yeah.
There's no coffee shop. Yeah. No. Yeah. You stand in line at this like hot dog cart.
Right.
Thing.
It's like, yeah. You're getting a hot dog in New York.
So they're in line to get coffee. And Travis runs up frantic because he's got to get a cup of coffee for his boss, Mr. Darcy, who had made a joke, an unfunny joke, that his job was on the line. He needed mm-hmm. this coffee or his job was on the line. He pushes in front of everybody. And that makes Elizabeth Bennet
stand up for the oppressed.
In true Elizabeth Bennet form, yes, go run over to the limo, knock on the window to roll it down, and they get into a fight with each other about
how she says you can't treat your assistant like that. It's human, and you know he's a regular person, and mm-hmm. just can't be treating other people like that. Saying that they're going to get fired for not getting the right coffee or not getting coffee, and.
And it's ironic because her boss is mean also, and pushy to her.
But Darcy did say, William Darcy? Mm-hmm. He did say that
it was a joke.
It was a joke.
I'm kind of awkward. He doesn't seem mean.
And yeah, Travis, Travis is wound up really tight anyway, took mm-hmm. it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. So Travis and Darcy head over to Pemberley Manor to check it out. And the caretaker is there, Christopher, who happens to be a chubby fellow with a white beard.
That's going to come.
Christopher is very pushy about nostalgia and Christmas, and he's kind of passive aggressive about it. Like if you are not fully on board with Christmas, he's very judgy mm-hmm. about you.
Yeah.
We get this character regularly. Usually it's like a mother-in-law maybe, or that they just can't understand why somebody wouldn't be into Christmas. So that's Christopher. Mm-hmm. And William's taking a look at Pemberley Manor, and he's reminiscing about that he would go there as a child with his aunt and uncle, but we're not getting much. He's pretty cold mm-hmm. about it all, pretty shut off about it all. And they're selling it, and somebody's going to build condos there, which is like it's in like the middle of nowhere in Connecticut, like on like a residential plot.
Street,
like,
yeah. There's houses all over, and then all of a
sudden here's a big condo, like a big modern condo building. Okay.
Come up with another reason that you have to get rid of Pemberley Manor, not like you're going to build condos there.
Yeah. But that's evil. No, building condos equals evil gentrification.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we rejoin Elizabeth and George, and we're finding out that Elizabeth is looking for love, that's what she's asked Santa for. So that's on her mind. And they're taking a look at the spot where the festival would be. And oh no, there has been a water main break.
Oh, no.
And there's a big hole. The gazebo's stuck in the hole. What are they going to do?
Where is the festival in Lambton going to take place if it can't take place in, like, the town square?
So she remembers driving by Pemberley Manor, and she doesn't know that Darcy owns that.
Yeah, she just drove by on her way into Lambton and saw, like, this beautiful old house.
With, and Christopher, you know, outside.
Yeah, and thinking, like, oh, this is, what a beautiful area of this town I'm in.
George knows what's going on at Pemberley Manor, and he knows William Darcy. Mm-hmm. They were childhood friends,
yeah,
too. And he knows that he's selling it and would, like, never agree to this. So she, you know, comes with the idea, let's host this at Pemberley Manor. And George is like, oh, no, yay, no, yeah, right, never, like, going to happen.
This is like, yeah, he just doesn't... He gives up at everything. He's not just like a dweef, but he is
spineless.
Spineless,
too.
Yeah. Like,
and he has a crush on Elizabeth Bennet.
Right.
They had gone out on one date. And they had both agreed to be friends. Yeah. I'm not sure how mutual that was.
We agreed to be friends. Like, I don't think it was mutual at all.
So they go to Pemberley Manor, and she realizes, like, oh no, William Darcy's who I had the limo fight with. Everyone in this movie is in a Hallmark movie except for Michael Rady. He has this very, like, mannered way of speaking. He's very serious, and he's made some decisions with his character that I don't totally understand. He is acting in one movie, and everyone else in this movie is acting in a different movie. He's in a really serious drama that's kind of about childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And everyone else is in a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
So it's very awkward. It's like, he kind of has a serial killer vibe to him because of that. Few words, doesn't open his mouth much, doesn't smile. So somehow they finagle, like, they all get together and they're scheming, meaning Elizabeth George and the assistant.
To try to get the festival to take place at Pemberley.
Yeah, so it seems like they reach out to the buyers and let them know that, like, the town is upset about this. And that makes its way to Christopher or Travis, or I guess Travis passes that along to Darcy, that the buyers are concerned, that the town is mad. So he's like, okay, as a sign of goodwill, as a show of goodwill to the town, I will let them have the festival in my front yard.
Right.
So he agrees to it. They're short on time. There's one week to Christmas. Yeah. That's when you plan a Christmas festival.
Was it a week? I thought it was like 3 or 4 days. I thought it was less than a week, but not a lot of time to put together a whole festival in a new location.
Yeah. This starts a week before Christmas, but it takes 3 or 4 days to get the paperwork to go through. So then we've just got a few days and they start setting it up. So what do? But they go shopping. So Elizabeth and William go shopping in the town. Again, we get tons of bags, like, with nothing in them.
Or,
what are they buying?
Like, they were buying sweaters. Like, what? Yeah. Like, you're buying a sweater from the Gap.
A stack of sweater boxes.
Like, why do you need this for the
festival?
They
put Christmas lights in that? Yeah, yeah. Candy. He's holding some candy canes. But I think if you're putting on a festival, everything's big, and you rent it, and it's in, like, crates. It's not like you're going to... the stationery store.
And
buying rubber stamps or something. Like, I don't know, like, what they're buying. And once again, they don't have shopping bags. They have gift bags. And they just keep shopping. And more and more and more these empty bags, they mush into the back of his car.
I think it's his car, yeah.
Because she doesn't have a car. Because she can't rent a car. So they have to use his car and driver, I guess. So much shopping.
And during this time, while they're doing their shopping, they're kind of getting to know each other, asking some personal details about, like, their, you know, history. And she knows a little bit about him because, you know, he's this billionaire. You know, this young billionaire owns a company. So she did some reading up on him to get some knowledge. And, you know, she found out that he dated 2 models. I saw that you dated 2 models.
Not at the same time.
Yeah. So they're during this time where they're shopping, they're getting to know each other a little bit better as well, and you can see their relationship kind of kindling.
Yeah. The other thing that's happening is that Jane, George's assistant, and Travis, we're starting to see the love connection kindle between them. All right. Again, it doesn't work. Why can't they just be friends? Also, this would be a perfect opportunity to cast a guy as George's assistant and have a love connection between the two of them.
Yeah.
Come on, Hallmark.
Two
girls
or two guys.
You can do it.
Yeah. Not as progressive as we hope.
But they really push this connection. I mean, nothing ever happens, but they really push this that they're like falling for each other. And you just, I was not feeling that.
I will say this is the first movie of the 2018 season.
So we don't know what
lies ahead. There could be a blockbuster or you know, something exciting happened down the road.
So they're starting to set up the festival and she gets a tree for inside Pemberley Manor and they decorate it together. And they're listening to Christmas carols that from like a record player that Christopher had dug
used to
up.
Listen to, yeah, when he yeah. was a kid.
Yeah.
Like his aunt and uncle used to listen to the records.
Yeah, so he's like letting his guard down a little bit more and opening up about what Christmases used to be like. So you're getting the feeling that his dad was really hard on him. His dad was really serious about business and it was always expected for him to take over the family business. But maybe his aunt and uncle were a bit warmer and more motherly and fatherly mm-hmm. to him.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And it's filled that need. So Pemberley Manor means a lot to him because of that.
Yeah, they show William and he's always doing some sort of business. He's in the office area where the record
always
player is.
Paperwork.
He's always some sort of paperwork. And that's usually when the, you know, creepy Christopher always kind of pops in unannounced, you know, hey, what are you doing? To, you know, offer him some sort of sage advice about the holiday and why it's important to, you know, like the season. And
with
the importance of Pemberley Manor to the history of the town.
So it gets, though, a little too personal, and he abruptly ends the night, and she leaves. And so that's kind of upsetting to her, and she's talking to George about the next day. And this is what's a one-sided love triangle? Because George is, like, angling to get back with her.
Yeah.
And she has no eyes for George.
No, like, he thinks that in his mind, there is a chance of some sort of relationship with Elizabeth. Elizabeth doesn't look at him other than a friend from college and the mayor that she helps.
Way,
she totally has eyes for William.
Yeah. So she's asking him about William, since they have some history, and he said that he's secretly charitable, that he makes lots of donations, that he's donated a lot to that town, and it's always anonymous, though. So she's out alone working on setting up this festival, which is pretty rinky-dink, I would say. Like, she's had volunteers, but she's there just, like, doing the, like, kind of moving packages around the Santa area. And it's just sort of a small tree surrounded by a few little kiosks and, like, a Santa hut thing where they take pictures.
It's like a little Santa's village you would see in the mall around where kids go see Santa.
Yeah.
Somebody's
front yard. Pretty small.
It's rinky-dink for sure.
So he comes out and she's sort of singing a song to herself. And he's like, oh, you have a great voice. And she's like, oh, I like to stay behind the scenes these days. And singing just helps relax me. And I'm sort of stressed out about getting this done. He's like, you know, what's another thing that would relax you? What would you be doing if you were just at home now? And she's like, oh, I'd probably be baking some Christmas cookies. So they go inside to bake cookies and they have every ingredient that you would need to make decorated gingerbread men. And she even says, I can't believe you had everything that we needed to make gingerbread men. He's like, oh, Christopher went out to do some shopping so we'd have anything that we would need.
Yeah.
Convenience. Her quote was, I can't believe you had all these ingredients laying around. And he tells her, you know, more about his childhood at Pemberley Manor and that his aunt and uncle used to take him for carriage rides, like behind the house, and that they had found an old carriage. And so lo and behold, the next day he goes out to the garage and there's the carriage. It just needs a little bit of work. So he brings it out and he and Elizabeth start like painting and fixing up the carriage.
It needed a little white paint.
So the festival begins and it's a pretty small crowd. Now, one thing we noticed that was one of my favorite things was that there's a pit bull at the festival. So we are dog people and we have two pitties. And I get really excited when there's a pit bull in like a commercial or a movie. And so there was a person walking their dog at the festival. That's like the thing I remember most about this movie.
I know you made me rewind it to see, like, did you see?
And it's pretty, like, it's small. And whenever there's a Christmas festival as part of a Hallmark movie, they always make a big deal that it's going to be like so huge, but it's always a really small crowd.
Yeah.
And everyone acts really weird. And I always just feel like it's just like the production assistants or like anybody who's working on the movies, like tells their like family, like,
show
hey,
up for the scene.
Hey, come yeah. in. We need some extras for this.
Yeah. Cause it's about, it's like 12 to 15 people that show up for these like magnificent tree light, these supposed yeah. magnificent tree lighting ceremonies.
And everyone's like 22, which I feel like it would be like parents and kids, older people who live in Lambton.
Yep.
Like if you're 22, you may not live in Lambton, Connecticut. I don't think it's like a college town, but that's like the age of like the production assistants yeah. and their friends.
Hey, you going to the festival? No, no, that's lame.
You mean that weird tree that's in the front yard where they're going to build the condos? No. It's this festival is just like if we just made a festival like in our backyard and just opened the gate. All right, who wants to come to our festival? So the next day, this was like the tree lighting the first night of the festival, and the next day, the newspaper comes out. I don't know if it's a New York paper or a Connecticut paper, but it says like the front page is this super long. Did you notice that how many words were in this article?
10,000 words on the Christmas festival in Lambton,
and that William Darcy was there with,
like, he saved, William Darcy saves the festival.
He had wanted to stay anonymous. He was like staying in his house most of the time. He was reluctant to even go out and enjoy the festival. And Christopher was imploring him to, and Elizabeth was as well. And so he begrudgingly did. And then it made the front page of the paper. And
I think Christopher, he was just so sick of seeing Christopher pop up. He said, I got to get out of this house for a few minutes. Christopher's always popping up. I'm going to go out and enjoy the festival.
Judging me. So this is not a good thing, but why?
I believe just because he wants to remain anonymous. He doesn't like to, or make it public that he was involved in you know,
that he does things anonymously
and does this deal. I'm not sure about, you know, I think just in general, he just likes to keep the low profile.
So Elizabeth feels bad about this, and Caroline, her boss back in New York, catches wind of this. She sees the article and she's mad because she didn't know that billionaire William Darcy was their client for this. She thought it was just George the Doof. So,
is it a doof or doof?
It's all a it's doof, all of yeah. those things. So we see Caroline is mad. We don't know. She's storming off. We're not sure what she's going to do about this. So now it's a daytime at the festival, and the best casting of the movie is Travis, the assistant, as an elf. This guy was born to play an elf. He's very elfish.
And we've kind of talked about how he's like wound tightly. He's also a terrible assistant.
Yeah.
He's like disorganized. Yeah. He can't keep things straight. Like, you think that William Darcy, you know, the multi-billionaire businessman,
she needs Jane. He needs
like
Jane.
How did Travis?
Yeah, how did he get this job?
How did he get this, other than his charm?
He's just bumbling.
Yeah, he's just bumbling. Yeah. There's no way he would have like been able to get. I mean, that's like, that job is for like a well organized person. He's better at just being an elf than being a personal assistant. Yeah.
So he's elfing it up. The festival seems to be a hit. And let's talk about, now I want to talk about scarves. There's a lot of scarves in this movie. Everyone has a scarf. It was like, yeah, someone who worked in the movie was sent out to buy a scarf for everyone and just drape it around them. Everyone has a scarf draped around them. And they're not, again, it's those, these movies need like a handmade scarf feel to them. And these are just the worst, cheapest, most synthetic, ugliest scarves.
Like, you're out on the town or something and you didn't. Really went out after work, and all of a sudden it was like 70 degrees colder than you thought it was. So you stop in the you stop in the Walgreens, you know.
You thought it was 80, but it was 10.
20 degrees, whatever. You know, like it's like, oh my god, it's so cold. I need something to put on. Let me just jump in the convenience store and get whatever I can put around my neck.
So all movie, I'm watching the scarves. And then they go shopping again because they need more stuff. I don't understand. They get more bags, and it's like nighttime. They're walking through the town. This is as Elizabeth and William. And they stop in a store, and lo and behold, she picks up a scarf to buy George for Christmas. I'm like, first of all, that shows no love interest in him to give him a scarf. Mm-hmm. But does he need a scarf? We have so many scarves already in this movie. Nobody needs another scarf. Or is it the perfect gift? They all love scarves, so... All right. Uh-oh. Here comes Caroline. Boom, boom, boom. The villain of the movie coming in to mess everything up. And
yeah.
She wants to take over because she wants to work with the Darcy Foundation to maybe like plan more events with them.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want her, you know, she doesn't want Elizabeth representing them. She wants to
do it. She's mad at Elizabeth for not telling her the, you know, how monumental this could be for lead events working with the Darcy company.
Yeah. She's there to salvage her company's reputation, which she's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've met people like this before where they're just like so brash and negative and you don't want to be around them. And
she has no sense of what's been happening in Lambden for the last few days. She doesn't, you know, she comes in here guns blazing, but really with no sense about what the tone of the festival is, the tone of how William is. She doesn't really know any of that.
It just makes me mad that she can come in and do that. And they've pulled off this great festival and she has to come in. Like, she makes everything sort of like faux fancy. Like, she gets rid of anything that's cute and puts like silver table and chairs. So it's very like elegant then.
And they're still trying over the course of this time together, they're still trying to convince Darcy to not sell Pemberley Manor. They're still thinking that like maybe, you know, he'll change his mind. And you can tell that he, if it was just up to him, he would, you know, probably keep Pemberley Manor, but it's the board's decision. The board doesn't want to leave this Pemberley Manor with no vacant. Nobody's been in it for however long.
Yeah. So Caroline, as she's stepping in, she's changing everything, but the festival's going on. Like, the festival's in the middle of it. So it's like you could have gone on day one of the festival and come back on day three and it's a totally different festival. Like, right in the middle of everything, she's changing it.
Yeah. And we mentioned the water main. That's where the you know, we had a change to Pemberley. Mm-hmm. But then we also had a Santa emergency. Remember at some point there was a Santa emergency in the festival where Santa's wife was pregnant or something. Or so he couldn't show up. So so Christopher, you know, the creepy Christopher with the white beard of Pemberley Manor, he was going to be able to play Santa.
I don't think his wife had a baby. That was in something else we watched, because it would be weird if it was like a really old guy.
Oh, yeah, I guess he's kind of old.
Anyway, but you're right.
But like, it could have been a young Santa that was just playing Santa in the festival.
True.
Christopher's old, certainly, but it could have been a young...
Well, it could be old Santa with young wife, too.
Or, but whatever. But Santa got sick, so a lot of things are going against the festival. Like, but Elizabeth is showing her worth, that she can handle this. You know, it's like the water main, boom, let's move it to Pemberley. Santa's sick, boom, or Santa cancels, boom, we'll get a new Santa. So she's handling this thing perfectly throughout, and that's why when Carolyn comes in to change everything, it seems extra harsh.
Yeah, and Carolyn inserts herself like, William is wrapping gifts, which, it's a sign that he's warming up to Christmas, awkwardly wrapping gifts, and she butts her way in. He's taking like a carriage ride with Elizabeth, and Caroline butts her way in and makes him like take the carriage ride with her. And you can tell that he hates her, and he doesn't want anything to do with her. Like, she needs to realize that Elizabeth is her asset and is going to close this client for her and just let Elizabeth do her thing. You know, like, reassure him, like, I'm here for anything that you need, but don't butt in to it all. Yeah. So that night is the big concert and the carolers.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth was supposed to like have gone home. Like, Caroline told her to go home. And Caroline says, you know, this, that their social media team had
an email
blast and social media all day for this event. And people were coming all the way from New York for this concert. Really? There were like three people there.
Yeah. What person from New York City?
The hottest event of
What's this email blast? Oh, there's a concert in Lambton. Honey, what do you say? This sounds like fun. Let's go.
So there's another complication. And it turns out that Jane comes in and says, oh no, the soloist has a sore throat. Who's going to take over? You know, I just said that Elizabeth had gone home yet. She hasn't yet. Caroline asked her to go home next. She's still there, but she's been told to step
aside. Yeah. Caroline's taking the lead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Darcy suggests, hey, you're a good singer. Why don't you step in and do the solo? Like, there's not another person in the choir that can do it. It's weird to me. Like, obviously they're realizing that this actress can sing,
yeah,
but it's like the choir is singing, and all of a sudden, like, the person who, like, organizes just steps up and sings. It's weird. Surely there's someone else. Or don't have a solo. Just have the Christmas carols.
The choir, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I felt that was a bit overstepping and unnecessary just to showcase her vocal skills. So now Carolyn, like, that was really one too far. So now Carolyn's like, get out of here. Go home. Yep. So Darcy just thinks that she's leaving, and he's upset, and so he pushes all the paperwork through to go forward with the sale, and he's not going to save Pimberley Manor, and he's just going to go back to New York and just go back to his, like, heartless ways. But then she shows up to say goodbye, and he's already left. He's heading to the helicopter. The festival is canceled. Everything is being dismantled, and the sale is complete. She can't believe that this is happening. So she heads back to George's office, and George thinks that, you know, like, maybe he's trying to rekindle it with her.
He has no idea that there's no romantic thoughts in her mind. I think I'm going to ask her for that second date.
And now he's realizing, like, oh, that's not what's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. So George and Elizabeth and Jane all scheme to fix everything, to save Pimberley Manor and to save the Christmas festival. We don't really know what they're doing, and then Travis is involved in it. So Darcy and Travis are waiting for the helicopter. They're sitting on the runway. Mm-hmm. The helicopter is warming up. They're sitting in the car. It's snowing. And Travis is texting with Jane that they're figuring out a way to solve this. And he's stalling Darcy, saying they can't take off because of the weather. And he buys them some time. And in the meantime, Elizabeth goes back and she's setting up the festival just by herself. Again, yeah, it's not really that hard to do. And she gets some volunteers to show up to help her. And then Caroline shows up. And instead of being, like, mad like she has been the whole time, all of a sudden she's, like, nice about it all and fine with it all. Okay, like, it's just, yeah, everything's
just forgotten.
Like,
everything before is forgotten.
But this is because in a Hallmark movie, they're, you know, 120 minutes long, and we are at minute 119.
Yeah, so we gotta tie this up into a bow in, like, 30 seconds.
I also don't, like, the, you know, there's a lot of talk about how the festival saved Christmas for the town. Like, Christmas wouldn't go on if they didn't have that festival. They're putting a lot of pressure on this tiny little festival that 10 people went to. So Travis is stalling, and Darcy's, like, kind of catching on to this. And it comes out that the sale is not complete because it's not ratified by the board yet. So it could be changed. There's an out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so Travis fesses up and says, oh, we could take off anytime. We're just trying to delay you. Elizabeth loves you. You love Elizabeth. You need to go to her. You need to keep Pimberley Manor, and everyone will live happily ever after. And Darcy realizes this is all true, and he can stop the sale, and he can go back to the festival and Christmas, and their relationship will be saved. So now the snow is for real, and mm-hmm. they can't get out. They're, like, snowed in.
They're stuck. Their car is stuck.
So they're trying to, like, shovel out.
It looks like just, like, flurries, but...
No, yeah, yeah. And it was, like, a four-wheel drive vehicle. It would have been fine.
It's a serious snowstorm.
So out of nowhere comes Christopher to save the day. Now, weren't you fully expecting it to be, like, the carriage with the horses picking them up? Or just reindeer or whatever. Like, no, he just shows up, and then all of a sudden they are back at the festival.
Pemberley.
It was like the horses weren't available that day. So now they're back. And Christopher's role in this is that he knows that Elizabeth loves Darcy and is looking for love because he's Santa Claus, and he got her letter about how she was looking for love. And so he's giving Elizabeth her Christmas present. So Darcy and Christopher and the whole gang, Travis shows up for Jane. Everyone's back at the festival. And another complication. The local, here's where the baby came into it. It wasn't Santa.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It was the local weather, or the local anchor man was going to read the night before Christmas. But his wife went into labor. And so he couldn't be there. So, could William Darcy step in and do it? And he does.
I appreciated that little touch, because having a local news anchor reading the Toys the Night Before Christmas, I feel that's very accurate. It seems like something a local anchor would do in Lambton.
Now, does Lambton have an old-time, like, person who's been there for a long time? Or is it like this is just a stopping point where you move on to, you know, you move on to, like, New Haven or
right,
something?
Yeah. they probably have the old white guy
who sticks there forever, and then there's like someone younger that comes in
or something. Like the co-anchor
spends her time there. So they announce that the sale, Darcy announces that the sale is off for Pemberley Manor. Yay. And Darcy and Elizabeth kiss. So now it's time for Naughty and Nice, where we pick the best and the worst of the episodes, put them on our naughty or nice list. And Pete has naughty this week.
And naughty would be Elizabeth's boss, Caroline, from Lead Events, for coming in at the last minute and trying to change everything for the worse.
And nice is the pit bull at the festival. But overall, I feel like strong start. I'm hoping for some goofier moments, though. This was a little bit serious. Christmas joy that's coming up this week looks good. I'm excited for that one. And we will be back with more episodes. Disco.